So, what's up here? What's up here that we, one of the last songs, the last song, the last part of it says his plan, he has revealed his plan to those who love him. So as I get going through the message today, just remember that those work well, they'll probably stay up there, right? Excuse me. Get this out of the way a little bit. So, would you turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1? 2 Peter chapter 1. You know, we've been talking about spiritual warfare and battles and all of that, and we've had some examples of that and some things that are said. You know, God has His plan for us, and not only in the general sense that we're going to start talking about, because it's just a beautiful plan. It's the greatest plan, the greatest collection of thoughts that there ever has been. So we're going to talk about that in the general sense, but then in the specific, there's many different things in a daily way where God speaks to us, and He has a plan for us. He has a purpose for us. We find that it doesn't just all run smoothly. We're talking with Diane. You know, she has a sense from the Lord that God, she's supposed to go on this trip, right? This missions trip. But everything isn't always just a smooth ride. That there's bumps in the road. There's things that get in the way that test that faith, that push on that, and sometimes what happens a lot is the enemy of our souls has a different plan. He wants to frustrate us. He wants us to lose faith. He doesn't want us to trust in Him. He wants us to look at what's going on in the world through His eyes and not through the eyes of God. He wants us to be disappointed rather than having hope. Right? Mm-hmm. So there's these plans. I'm going to talk about both of these plans today. Because there's opposite things going on, there's friction, there's battle, and we have to be the people that make sure that we take a hold of the right, hold on and have the trust in the right thing. So 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10 says this basically. I'm not going to read the whole verse, but most of it. Brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now I say this, I the Lord led me to this particular scripture because there is battle in life. There are things that happen that make us question a lot of things that we read in the Bible. And so Peter, the apostle, is telling people, we've got to give diligence. What's the word diligent mean?
Hard working,
paying very close attention to. Don't just kind of look at something. Just read your Bible every so often. Pray every so often. But that there's something where we're giving diligence. We're making it a priority. We're at the job, so to speak,
time after time. So he says that we're to give diligence
to make our election, calling an election sure. So, yes, this is a part of what we're going to talk about in God's plan is God has called us. We're the elect of God. He's chosen us, right?
Yep.
Right? What a good plan, right? And we're going to look at that and see it in one of the scriptures encapsulated, but that this great, wonderful plan of salvation that God has for us didn't just stop at the cross. This is a continual thing because He sent His Holy Spirit to continue this process for us. Yeah. Right? Yeah, yes?
Yeah.
The plan of God is ongoing. It didn't stop at the cross. That was the most wonderful, beautiful part of it, but there's more to that plan of God. And because it's ongoing, that means there's something for us to be aware of, to be excited about in terms of what He's doing. Right, I'm walking down the aisle here. What He's doing, right, is for us to pay attention to now. We have to give diligence to that calling and to that election. And so that's what's really important for us. All the things that we've talked about with the spiritual battle and putting on the armor and all of that is all very important, but we have to give diligence to that. Because that's part of the calling, isn't it? The calling is not just to be saved.
No.
Not just to, in the great getting up by and by, we're going to get to heaven. But that there's a purpose. There's a plan for us as Christians right now.
Yeah.
Today, tomorrow, next week, next month, whatever.
Right? So we have to give diligence to this. We can't just kind of throw it up in the air and say, "Oh, well, I'm glad I'm saved, and I'm just going to bounce through life now, and whatever happens, happens." Because if that ends up being our attitude, we find out that we end up getting taken by the will of Satan. You're going to see this as I get to some of the scriptures. Now, there's a few scriptures today, so. Please bear with that, because I don't know if I'll have you go to all of them, because it's quite a few. But I'm going to at least reference that, and if I speak too fast and you don't get all of them, and you're looking to get all of them, just see me after the service, and you can grab this. I have them marked off in green highlighter. So God has a plan for us, has plans for us on an individual basis, as a small little church body, as the church universal. God has plans. He has His ideas, His thoughts in what He would, what He wants for us to do. It's a plan. It's something that is yet to take place. It's out there in front of us for us to accomplish. Right? We don't have to plan for something that happened yesterday. Do we?
No,
it's already happened. Planning is something that's out in front of us. It could be the rest of today, yesterday, or the day before. Kathy made a list of things we have to do at our house. You know, it was this long. And it was really neat. That was our plan. That's what the plan was. The plan was accomplish these things, right? We did most of them, didn't we, Kat? There was just a couple that we didn't get out of maybe 20 or 25 things that were on her list. Oh yeah, our list. Our list. Oh, is this on?
Yeah.
So
you don't have to turn to this, but Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says this. This is God speaking. "For I know the plans that I have for you,"
yes,
declares the Lord.
Yes.
"Plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." That seems to be coming up a lot today, doesn't it? You know? God's plan for us is for us to have good things. And if we really believe that, and when we're going through the struggle because the enemy has gotten in the way with Well, then we've got to remember who God is, that He does have good plans. It's not for evil. When evil comes, it's not coming from God. God will use the enemy's plans to work good things in us. But that's not where He wants to take us. He wants to give us a future and a hope. Amen? So this is real. Do you see that when we're in battle, and especially in the world that we're living in now, how we really have to be confident in the Lord, don't we? We have to know there is a future. There is a hope for God's people. Amen?
Yes.
We have to have this.
Yeah.
And it's already been spoken. We've already sung a lot of things. So God, I think, is really encouraging us today to realize that His plans are for us to have a future and a hope. Amen? Isn't that exciting? I love that.
That's right.
I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for good and not for evil.
Yes.
That's the kind of God we serve. You know? There's a few other ones just to support this whole thing. Romans 8:28 says that we're called according to His purpose. Well, for a person to have a purpose, that means he has a plan. Right? You understand that? If we have a purpose in life, God has a plan for us in this life. So where you will hear the word purpose, that you can just substitute the word plan, because this is talking about God's plan. Okay? Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, there's a time for every purpose under the heaven. God has plans going all the time for us, right? And there's a purpose, there's a time for every different purpose, right? And if you know that scripture, you know it has quite a bit. All right, so now I want to get to this Ephesians 1. This is like, here is God's overall plan. I always love this part of Ephesians. This is God's overall plan for us as people. And Ephesians 1, it's verses 3 to 14. It'll take a little bit of time, but not that bad to read. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to the adoption of sons. Now, predestined. To be predestined. Lots of people, many different Christian groups too, take the word predestined and say there's nothing you can do about it. God has something, and no matter what you do, this is what's going to happen. Predestined means to predetermine, right? And that's where you could get a little bit confused. But it's His plan, right? When God predestined, He said, I'm going to purpose this particular thing. And He was talking about the people that come to Him. He made a predetermined plan. This is what He was going to provide those who came to Him, who chose Him. Right? You understand this?
Yes.
So it wasn't that God just said, oh, I'm going to choose Ronnie for salvation and Malcolm for hell.
Right.
He didn't predestine one person to heaven and another person to hell. We all get the choice if we want to serve Jesus or not. Yes. So this predestination doesn't go to those kinds of limits. What God did when He predestined was a plan. He said, He made a predetermined plan. For those who come to Me, they're going to be My children.
Yes.
That's what he predestined. For those who came before the foundation of the world, he said, this is what I'm going to do for all those who come to me. That's the predestined part of it. That was the pre-planning. It wasn't who, it was what.
Yeah.
Do you understand this?
Yes.
So that's very, very important.
Yeah.
Very, very important that you understand this.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot of people that don't understand that.
No.
Or don't, they think of it much differently.
Much differently.
Yes.
Okay. In love, he predestined us to the adoption as sons through Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And a lot of times when you read the word will, God's will, well, what's his will? That's what he's determined to do. That's his plan, isn't it? God has plans. This is what's going to happen in the future. This is what's supposed to be happening. There I go. I'm sliding down this aisle again. It's because you're over there, Diana.
I'm
going
to do it even when I'm over there.
I love it.
We
need a little traffic cone over here.
Yeah, we need a traffic cone. Okay. The good pleasure of his will to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood. This was his predetermined plan, wasn't it?
Yes.
That Jesus was going to, the Word of God was going to come to the earth in the form of a man, live a pure life, so that when he died for our sins, he wouldn't remain in the grave. That he was going to be resurrected. And that resurrection, then, in this predetermined plan of God before the foundation of the world, before the world was ever made, God came up with this plan.
Yes.
The greatest plan in the world. He was going to redeem mankind that he knew was going to end up falling because of their choice.
Yeah.
Right? So he provided this great way. Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his plan, according to his kind intention, which he purposed or planned in Christ, looking ahead to the fullness of times when he would gather together in all things into Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we also have an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, that we who were the first to believe in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. You notice how this goes. You hear the word of truth, and then you trust in it. You believe it. You get that? You get that from that verse? Okay. And then, and that word of truth is the gospel of our salvation, it says. And then it says, in whom after you believe. So we hear the word of truth, you hear the gospel message, and then we believe. And then after we believe, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. That was all part of this grand plan of God. Wow.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Tremendous. His great love for us. His great mercy for us. Right?
Yes.
You can see maybe why I don't go over this side more, because he'll have something smart aleck he can say to him.
I'm just noticing you're getting closer and closer to the camera for your close-up.
Oh, I'm not even noticing that. Oh. Thank you for telling me that. That'll keep me away from it. In whom you believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the down payment of our inheritance. The Holy Spirit that we've received, that's only the down payment. Now, if that doesn't get your curiosity and your excitement, that's the Holy Spirit inside of me is just a down payment?
Mm-hmm.
more.
What else is coming up? Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Because when you talk about God's plan, we can't even ask or think what He has planned for us. We have no comprehension of what all of that really means. Right?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. Yeah.
That's what that last song said. No eyes have you seen.
I know. These are just great things for us to grab a hold of, right? And then it says, Let's see what the Holy Spirit promised, which is our down payment of our inheritance, looking ahead to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. Well, what's the redemption of God's own possession? Do you know what that's referring to? It's us, and specifically, do you know what that's referring to? The resurrection of our bodies. The redemption of His own possession is all of the whole of us. Body, soul, and spirit. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's this that says looking ahead to the redemption of our really means the redemption of our bodies. You look at Romans chapter 8, it says it out a little bit more clearly there, as well as in Corinthians and so on. All right. Since we're in Ephesians, let's just stay in Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. This plan that God has. If you just hear the words, if you're just hearing my words, or you're just hearing the words in the scripture, and you're not really asking God to make this real to you, something deeper, not just an intellectual understanding of the scripture, but that there's something deeper that God can spark inside of us. Now listen to what it says here. This is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 to 13. It says this: so that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. That's an amazing, that's another message right there. This was in accordance with what?
Eternal purpose.
There is an eternal plan. There's an eternal plan that was carried out in Christ Jesus. If you remember, back up in chapter 1 of Ephesians, it said that God had, was looking ahead, had this view that everything was going to get summed up in Christ. Right? Everything was going to be brought together, come together in Christ. And here it's talking about this eternal purpose that's going to be carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. There are things in the government of the thousand-year kingdom, but even out beyond that, into the eternal realms, God has plans for you and I as individuals in His family in terms of whatever is out, eternal. An eternal plan. You know, when we get to heaven, when we're in His kingdom, we're not going to be up on a cloud and having a little harp and playing some little harp and just have a head. You ever see those pictures, those drawings of paintings of angels, you know, that they only have a head?
Yeah.
They have no body. They're just a little head, and all they're doing is playing a harp.
With a head.
Well, they have hands coming out somehow. What?
Like the little emojis.
Yeah, the little emojis, you know. The hug emoji.
There is an eternal purpose. There is an eternal plan for you. I'm just excited about that. And it says, which was carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom, this is what this gives you and me, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in Him. Ooh, yeah. If there's something that the people of God need, is confidence in Him. Did Reggie say that earlier? Yeah, you know, we need that confidence in Him.
Yes.
Otherwise, we're not bold, are we?
Mm-hmm.
When we need to be bold. All right, I'm gonna jump down through a few other things here. Here's something. Here was part of the plan that God had. We've talked about general salvation, this whole thing about salvation, and we're going to live. We have this eternal plan that God has for us. Here's something that Jesus came to do in His plan, in God's plan. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 says this: "The Son of God came for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil."
Yes. What is that? John what?
1 John chapter 3, verse 8. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, came for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. There is a battle, and Jesus has already won it.
Yes.
And we can have that kind of confidence, can't we? No matter what it looks like here, no matter what gets bloodied up and things don't go the way we want, we know the final outcome, don't we?
Yes, we do.
The plan of God is going to happen. Everything that was prophesied by the Lord's prophets have been coming to pass down through the ages, and they're going to finish, right? We have the book of Revelation, we have a whole bunch of prophetic books in the Old Testament that have prophesied of the end times, and so those things still have to be done, but we can take some darn good confidence in the fact that since Daniel and Isaiah had prophesied all these other things that were to happen right then and around their period of time, and all of those things came to pass, we have a pretty good, we have some assurance, don't we?
Yes. Yes.
We have that great assurance. Those same prophets that prophesied about the end time talked about a coming Messiah, and all of those prophecies were true. They all came true in Jesus, right?
Yes.
So we have all of that. And one of the purposes, besides salvation, that Jesus came to do was to destroy the works of the devil. If we're the body of Christ now, what are we supposed to be doing? Destroying the works of the devil through the power of Christ. Right?
Yes.
Pulling down strongholds.
Yes.
Casting down imaginations.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
Breaking the chains.
Yes. Yes.
Of oppression. Right? All of this.
Yes. Preach it, brother. Ongoing.
Okay. So I've built you all up, and we're talking about God's plan, and I just want to make sure that we understand this, that there is this fight. God Jesus already won.
Yeah.
Right? He's already won.
Yeah.
But there's a battle here on this earth, right? And that's why Peter says at the beginning, "Brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure."
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's still stuff for us to do. Jesus already won, and we can take our confidence in that. But there's still battle here.
There's still a will that's coming against the will of God right now. We're in that. That's the framework that we're in, right? So, and I mentioned this scripture a few times ago about 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says, we are not to be ignorant of the enemy's devices. Mm-hmm. Now, what's devices? Is that a tool? Is that a device? It's not talking about that. Is it?
His tricks, his schemes,
his... Say it.
Purpose.
His plans?
His plans.
A scheme is a plan, isn't it? Devices, the plotting, the seducing, you come up with a plan to take somebody out, right? This is what the enemy does, right? He schemes. It isn't like he comes right up to. I won't go down that road. He doesn't come right up to you and say, I'm going to do this to you.
No.
Does he?
No.
Oh, no. He schemes and he plots and it's in the dark. He's sneaky. He's conniving. Right? And he finds a way to get at your head and get at your heart in any way that he can. And when he finds he can't go one direction, and you say, get away from me, you know, and then the enemy steps back. You know what he usually does? Comes over to hit you from another direction.
Awful angel.
Doesn't he?
Yes.
It's it's called getting blindsided.
Yes.
Sneaks up in back of you and you get clubbed in the back of the head with a baseball bat.
Mm-hmm.
Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah.
And you go, what the heck just hit me? Or how did I not see this coming?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Seriously, I got scar on my eyebrow.
Yeah, it's not very pleasant, is it, John? And we know that this enemy of ours, this being that has a different plan for Earth and the people on it, he's out to devour whoever he can. He's not a good guy. Listen to this. All right. So it was in the devotion this morning about putting on the full armor of God. So that this is Ephesians 6:11. Put on the full armor of God so that you would be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Right? He schemes.
Yeah.
He plans things out. That's why it's hard for us to see sometimes, because he's a trickster.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm going to get to a point here where this isn't going to be a concern for us, but you know, we always have to be on guard. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 11 verses 14 and 15 say this: Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Oh, you mean he doesn't come in his red suit and horns and tail and a pitchfork so that we recognize that it's him? Oh, no. No, he disguises himself. He disguises himself as an angel of light. Look at this wonderful philosophy. Look at this wonderful, look how nice and soothing and smooth words that come out of his mouth to soothe us and woo us and seduce us into thinking a particular way. All philosophies are the same. Yeah? That's what the enemy wants. The enemy wants you to think that Christianity is just one of the many different ways to God. Now, God will use anything out of any of these other religions to pull someone toward Christ. Alright? But I'm talking about where the actual truth lies. And when Jesus says that He's the only way to the Father, that's good enough for me. Right? Because He's the Son of God. Right? He is the way, the truth, and the life. So I don't have to look around and kind of weigh things out everybody's philosophy, whatever anybody wants to choose. No, there's really only one way you're ever going to get to see the Father and be in the kingdom of God. You've got to accept the work of Christ on the cross in your life. Amen. That's a choice.
Amen. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's an understanding. That's a belief. We can't work our way to heaven. Jesus did what we couldn't do. That's all part of this grand plan. And when we see the plan and we accept it, we're now in the beloved army. And because we are, we have the Holy Spirit now to lead us and to guide us and to stop us from going down a wrong path. Because this enemy of ours is a slippery dude. Mm-hmm. He's slippery. He's sneaky.
Yes.
Now, the rest of that scripture says this. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it's not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Mm-hmm. Now, this is where it gets a little... Because just because there are churches that name the name of Jesus, we don't go running and just accepting anything that comes out of any place that uses the name of Jesus. It better follow the word of God, right?
That's right. Yeah.
So that's really important, isn't it?
Yes.
Because otherwise, just because somebody says, "Oh, I believe in Jesus," well, do you believe in the same Jesus? Because there are different Jesuses out there, the way Jesus is portrayed by other so-called Christian churches. And we've got to be able to see the difference. And if we're not, we're going to get hooked by something that is not Christ. It's important for us, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, we open our arms, we're loving to people and situations, but you need to know the truth about things, right? So that was one thing. You know, in fact, there have been instances where these ministers, so-called ministers, Christian ministers, they prophesy. You know that. They use the name of the Lord and they prophesy in the name of the Lord such and such and such and such and such. Just because somebody says in the name of the Lord, does that mean that it's in the name of the Lord? No, not necessarily. People are deceived, right? They counsel. But you know what? They're speaking what the enemy plans to do. Do you hear that?
Yeah.
When somebody speaks something over your life, if it's not a minister of the Lord, even though they might pretend to be, if it's not coming from God, where's it coming from? It's not coming from God. Right? And so you're going to get rat poison. You're going to get 99% okay, but there's 1% there, and it's that very thing that can kill you, that can lead you down the wrong way. Right? It's important for us.
Doesn't Revelation even say that there's going to be false prophets that are even going to create miracles in the sky?
Yes.
Deceive?
Yes. Yes.
Miracles?
Yes. Yeah.
Not much pot.
So we have to know.
In Thessalonians, they're called lying wonders. So there's going to be all this kind of stuff that is going to go on sometime here in the future. 1 Timothy 4:1 talks about seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Here's one for us. Do you know that you could speak the word of the Lord 1 minute and then not speak the word of the Lord in the very next minute? Let me give you a gospel example. Matthew chapter 16, verse 17, and then verse 23. So it happened very close to each other. Jesus is talking to Peter in both of these instances. He says to Peter in Matthew 16, 17, he says, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hasn't shown this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Wow. Here's Peter getting a grand revelation about who Jesus was, right? "Blessed are you, Peter." A little bit later, I don't know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 2 minutes, I don't know. The same Jesus says to the same Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." So, you know, we've got to be very careful. Well, what's happened? What happened to Peter? He was in the Spirit, and then he got out of the Spirit, right? Maybe Jesus saying, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona," put a little bit of pride in him.
Yeah.
Got a little arrogant about who he was. Wasn't careful about the thoughts that were coming into his mind. Mm-hmm. He was using his fleshy mind and says, "God forbid that you should go to the cross." Jesus, that wasn't his exact words, but that was the basic idea. And that's when Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan, because you're looking after things in the flesh, not according to the will of God." So, you know, this can happen to anybody in the church, couldn't it?
Yes.
Hey, 1 minute you're flying high, the next minute you're not listening too well. So it's important for us, isn't it? Important. If we're going to be light in a dark place, my gosh, we can't just flop all this off. I hope you're grabbing this and saying, "Please God, I'm doing this inside of me while I'm saying these words to you. Please God, I don't want to be an example of that."
Right.
Yeah. Speaking one thing and then going off the deep end because I'm not really listening. I'm too caught up in myself or something else is going on. You know, I'm distracted by this in my life rather than really be staying diligent to make my calling and election sure. Right? I don't have to be all tensed up and, you know, make sure I get my calling and election. No, I don't. I can relax because he got everything under control. And as long as I just keep plugging into him, I'm going to be just fine. So are you, right?
Yes.
So we don't have to be tense about it.
No.
But we do have to be diligent about it. Right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So 2 Timothy. Are you doing okay?
Yeah.
Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26 says that I didn't write it all out, but it talks about people who are easily taken captive by the devil to perform his will. And if you're not a Christian, you're like Reggie was saying, you know, how do people get by in this world without believing? You know, if you're not a Christian, you're dangling out there, aren't you? And you know what's even worse? It's easy for if you're not a Christian, it's easy for the enemy to just gather your thoughts and give you what he wants you to do, and you're just moving right along, right? And don't even know that you're captured by the will of the enemy. Okay, I'm going to finish this off with these particular scriptures. You ready? Ready to write?
Okay.
Don't write out the whole thing. Just write the scripture and go back and look at it. Romans 16:20 says this, and I'm summarizing it as we can be confident of ultimate victory. Okay, and it talks about in that verse, Romans 16:20, that God is going to bruise Satan under his feet. Oh no, that isn't what it says. He's going to bruise Satan under our feet.
Yes, right. Yeah.
What? And it's not building on, I'll tell you that this. There's no way I want to get close to Satan. Right? But you know what? If we're in him, that's a whole different story, isn't it? Whole different story. And God is going to use the body of Christ at the end of the age to bruise Satan. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that looks like. But there's something there because it's in the scripture.
Yes.
What that means, I'm not even going to try to figure that one out. Alright, so we need to be confident in this this battle between the two plans that are out there. And bruising Satan under our feet shortly reminded me in our Bible study, we're doing Joshua, and we were in chapter 10 of Joshua, and Joshua, they capture these five kings, and they're shut up in a cave, and they bring the five kings out, and Joshua says, put them down on the ground. So they're laying down on the ground. And he has the captains of his army. He says, come up here. Put your feet on the necks of these kings. And, oh, man. Now, that's brutal. We talked about it. It's kind of a brutal kind of thing. But Satan, you know, it says, we're going to bruise Satan under our feet. And that reminded me of that scripture in Joshua. Put your foot on the necks of those kings. Wouldn't you want to have Satan under your feet instead of around your neck?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's right.
God, this is, you understand it? This is part of God's plan.
Yes.
So, golly gee whiz, little old me. Which is true. Which is true. We're all nothing outside of Christ.
Yes, yes.
But we are the body of Christ. We're the
tool.
Yes. We co-labor with him. What's that? We're the clay jars that the treasure is found in earthen vessels. Right? In vessels of clay, it says in 2 Corinthians 4. So that's who we are. We're nothing. We're just a clay jar. But we have a treasure inside of us.
Yes.
And it's that needs to come out. We have, you know, we can't just be all shucks. God has plans for us, and it's going to be done humbly, and it's going to be done in the right way, and in righteousness, but you know what? We have to be available to him. We have to do what he tells us to do, right? Alright. Here's the next one. So we need to be confident. Alright, that was the first one. Second one. Psalm 37:7 says this: rest in the Lord, don't fret over wicked devices, the wicked plans, right? Don't do that. In other words, don't be fearful.
Don't panic.
Don't panic. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, right? All right, here's another one.
winning this war, getting on the right in the right plan, is Ephesians 4:27. It says, "Don't give place to the devil." That means don't yield ground. We had a whole thing about that a little while, a few sermons ago. Don't yield ground. There's already places where he's taken that we need to take back in our lives. Let's not yield any more ground, right? Okay, Ephesians 4:14. We're to grow up.
Yeah.
No more children. We're not to be children any longer, it says in Ephesians 4:14. With the craftiness, the schemes of men who lie in wait to deceive. Right? We're to grow up. We're not supposed to be stupid and little babies and naive. We're to understand what kind of battle we really are in. This is the battle of the ages, isn't it? Okay? And then the last thing. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit to God. Resist the devil. James 4, 7. Submit to God. Resist the devil. You know, that means there's some spiritual energy involved in resisting. I did not do a very good job this morning. I should have resisted those oatmeal cakes that were over there. And I, you hear that, Joe? It was offered, and I took it.
Are you calling me a deceiver?
No, I'm not. I'm the one that gave in to that thought. Right? But isn't that what happens to us? We have to resist. There are things that are easy to resist, and then there are things that are a lot harder to resist.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Every day.
Mm-hmm. So in this plan, these plans that are vying for our attention, you know, we do need to resist what the enemy's doing. Mm-hmm. Have to. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Otherwise you get caught by him. Right? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So we are more than conquerors. We're overcomers. Lord, we ask that we really are a light in a dark place. Help us, Lord, in all the areas of our life. That we submit to you, that we learn how to be better at resisting when it's really the devil. That we grow up, Lord, the way you want us to. Help us in all of these different things. That we rest in you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. That we be diligent, Lord, to make our calling and election sure. Choosing your will. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Malcolm, yes.
Yes.
Well, I need a microphone.
Yeah.